very pleased at the attendance of the Assistant to the President for National Security Affairs, Mr. McFarland, and the Deputy Secretary of Defense, Mr. William Taft, and to Bob Helm, who was with us briefly this morning and here again this afternoon from the National Security Staff. I understand that the President may join us sometime in around 15 minutes. In the meantime, I thought it might be appropriate to brief you on the results of the work that's been undertaken since we were at Omaha last summer and some of the discussions this morning. And then what I don't say, Dr. Cherik, the Vice Chairman of NSTAC, and General Powers will have any comments they might like to add before a response from your office. I also acknowledge that we have in the room, I know, very top representatives of the United States government from other departments and agencies, and we appreciate the attention that they are giving to this particular presidential committee. I think it's fair to say that we have accomplished the major objective that I believe we were established to do, and that is ensure no major disruption in the emergency communications and the continuing communications of the federal government, despite the significant disruption and change that has occurred and is continuing in the United States telecommunication industry. I believe that we have met the challenge in establishing a national coordinating mechanism and a national coordinating center, with a permanent center to be organized in Arlington, Virginia, by 1985 in the first quarter of the year, and operating now in an existing government facility. Furthermore, we have undertaken very significant studies in the field of communication satellite survivability. I think that the results of these studies, which are on a continuing basis, are going to be very meaningful to the communication satellite community. And in fact, we understand that certain changes have already been introduced by certain of the major companies flying the communication satellites to ensure continuation of orbit without outside mechanisms causing failure of the system. We have also undertaken very difficult studies in the field of automated information processing, and particularly as that processing applies itself or is embedded in our telecommunications network. These studies will, I'm sure, continue for the next year. They're very important. They're very complex. Finally, we have been working in the field of the electromagnetic pulse effects, something which runs across the entire commercial network as well as the military networks to determine what we can do, if anything, to understand the result of these effects and protect against it. We do recognize a role, if the government so chooses, of the NSTAC in assisting the government with the evaluation of priorities of communications requirements for funding. And during the course of this year, and by the time of the next meeting, we hope to have developed some approaches wherein we can present to you a means by which these funding priorities can be identified by the NSTAC and put in the hands of the Department of Defense, the National Communications System Agent, and the National Security Advisor. Those are my opening comments. I'd say that we've had tremendous support from the government, support from all of the people on NSTAC, and from executives, scientists, working level people throughout their organizations, and I feel very confident that this will continue. Joe?
Thank you, Rand. I would only add that I think that an amazing amount of work has been accomplished in a relatively short time, and I think that's only possible with the kind of cooperation that has developed here between the private sector and the government. And I think that the benefits are already visible. There are some problems that can be addressed in the short term and with relative ease that can make a significant improvement to our emergency communications capabilities. There are other difficulties that are going to take a lot of time and effort to solve, but at least we are identifying the problems, I think, and going about solving the ones that are within close reach and then setting our sights on the ones that are further down the road in order to get the kind of capability we'd like to have. I believe General Powers would like to make some comments on his observations on the progress so far.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Dr. Sharp. I'd like to harden the approach that we do, in fact, have a true, well-oiled, working industry government team addressing the matters associated with national security and emergency preparedness related to telecommunications. The establishment of the National Coordinating Center on the 3rd of January was the first major step to get that on its way. So again, I am very, very much pleased with our activities, sir.
Thanks very much. Chairman, Dr. Sherrick, and General Powers, for your remarks and overview of what's been accomplished already, to include, importantly, the agenda that lies ahead. I think it is important that the President will meet with the committee today. It reflects, as does the presence here of cabinet officers and leading participants, the profound importance that President Reagan attaches to establishing a solid working relationship with industry so as to forge a effective, survivable telecommunication system to support our national security functions. This is an extraordinary group. Men and women in this room are among the most prestigious in your profession and private sector and in government. Can't help but recall, looking around the room, a remark that President Kennedy is reported to have used about 20 years ago in saying, when he was presenting medals of freedom to the leading scientists and engineers, artists, statesmen, it was the greatest assembly of talent in the White House since Jefferson dined alone. And it is for me and all of us on the government side a very humbling and stimulating experience to be involved with you. And we very much appreciate time and talent you bring to bear on these problems. The work program that's been set involves the full spectrum of national security requirements, shortfalls, problem areas. We have set about, after the President's direction, to tackle these head on. It's important that as we do this, there be a continuing discourse between us so that our own priorities mesh and that where problems are identified on your side, that we hear those. Our experience in that context has been extremely good thus far, and the mid-course corrections that have come in from Ryan Dariscog, Joe Cherik, and others have been extremely useful in shaping the program. I know they invite as well your comments and criticisms months and years ahead. I think it would be useful if I pause before I go any further and recognize the government side of the community that's with us today. Seated behind me, and I'd like to ask those present to rise when I announce their names, include Don Regan, Secretary of the Treasury, William French Smith, the Attorney General, Bill Clark, Judge Clark, Secretary of the Interior, John Block, Secretary of Agriculture, Mac Baldridge, Secretary of Commerce, Don Hodel, Secretary of Energy, Ken Dam, here for George Shultz, Secretary of State, who's visited with you earlier. James Burnley, Deputy Secretary of Transportation. Jim Beggs, Administrator of National Aeronautics and Space Administration. William Bulger, the Postmaster General. Nunzio Palladino, Chairman of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Harry Walters, Administrator of the Veterans Administration. Mimi Dawson, Commissioner of the FCC. John McMahon, Deputy Director, CIA. General Link Farr, Director of the National Security Agency. Dick DeLauer, Undersecretary of Defense for Research and Engineering. Alton Keel, Associate Director for National Security Affairs, Office of Management and Budget. Dr. Jake Keyworth, I'm sure Jake could join us today. There he is. Jay, of course, is the President's Director of the Office of Science and Technology Policy. Bob Morris, Deputy Director, Federal Emergency Management Agency. Ray Klein, Acting Administrator of the General Services Administration. And General Robert Hares, Air Force Director for Command, Control, and Communication Systems of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. These men are here with Mimi because of their commitment to and wish to be of help in forging our national security telecommunications policy. They're also here because the President told them to be here as a reflection of his very high personal interest in your efforts here. 22 government agencies are involved on our side of the table in addressing the telecommunications agenda. The recommendations that you've made have been an extremely useful catalyst for bringing together our work here. The National Communications System has been revitalized as a consequence of your recommendations and input. Together, your enthusiasm, together with President Reagan's, has been key to what I see as a successful effort to manage a very difficult transition process as changes have occurred in private sector telecommunications. The President has emphasized that implementation of telecommunications enhancement, pursuant to your recommendations, is one of his highest priorities. The establishment of the National Coordinating Center, already a major accomplishment, which will help enable the national security emergency preparedness planning to avoid the disruptions which might otherwise have occurred. I do not feel it is too early to say that the potential disruption has already been substantially mitigated by NSTAC's attention and your help and compromise in many, many areas. The President's instructed the NCS, including each of the 22 member entities, the executive agent and its manager, General Powers, to address the other NSTAC recommendations promptly, particularly the key areas of commercial satellite survivability. In addition, another major NSTAC initiative, which as the Chairman has mentioned, the Automated Information Processing System has also been identified as an issue to be addressed by the Emergency Mobilization Planning Board, a board which I chair, which is already well along in work on this agenda item. The development of a funding mechanism for national telecommunications enhancement is key if we're going to carry forward the momentum that we've already established. It's got to be promptly addressed in order to keep the work going and to establish confidence on both sides that we're going to meet our milestones and assure an outcome that serves our common interests here. This will be a principal focus of my efforts with the national communication system during the next weeks and months. The President will join us in a moment. But before that, I wanted to refer to Will Taft, who is here for Cap Weinberger, as the executive agent for the President in our activities. Will, would you care to offer anything? Very much, Will. I think it's already been passed along that this morning the President signed a new executive order which assigns agency telecommunications responsibilities to each of the 22 participating cabinet agencies and independent agencies in the government, as well as here in the White House. I think that's a significant move which can establish a firm division of labor here inside the government, serve as a basis for renewed energy and enthusiasm on our side of the table. Clearly, we have to expect that the manager and the staff of the national communication system has got to have a very active discourse in the weeks ahead through the chairman and to each of you. But I'm extremely optimistic. The never ceases to impress a career bureaucrat like myself how much can get done when the President directs it. We've had quite a bit of fits and starts in the past years in this particular area. But I think we have a very solid wiring diagram. More importantly, we have extremely talented people who are committed to this success of what we're doing here. I understand that the President is on the way in the elevator and be glad to entertain any questions you might have about our side of the issue at this point until he arrives.
I think most of us on the committee have had the impression that much of what we are doing is really already relating to work going on between the agencies of the government, and that in some respects we have the feeling we're not creating things in certain areas, but perhaps are at least pushing them along a little bit in the government organizations faster than they might go without this. And I don't know whether that's a realization on our part or hope, but I wondered if you'd comment on that.
Well, I think that the short answer is that it clearly has provided a momentum and a pace that I personally have not seen in many years in government. And I think that's for several reasons, but not least is the fact that when you're working with people of the standing and knowledge that are around the table, that you can't help but feel a responsibility to to act on what they say. Of course, the president directing it helps. His interest is not casual. There are many areas of telecommunications continuity, sensitive areas that are of highest interest to him. But I suppose more than anything else, the smooth governmental action in an area in which there has to be a very clear interface without creating a massive bureaucracy is kind of an bureaucracy, is an experiment that he is interested in from a management point of view. It is proceeding well. We occasionally get some pauses here or there, but the oversight from the White House here, I must say, has gotten extremely good cooperation out in the agencies.
Very good. Anyone else, Bob, or any comment? We have three new members. Bob Anderson joined us from Rockwell, Tom Pownell from Martin Marietta, and Bob Snedeker from United Telecommunications. The others, I think, were all at the previous meeting.
I would hope so. That's both a blessing and a curse. I suppose there cannot be a lot of enthusiasm on your part for having to plow a lot of time into the government. It is extraordinarily beneficial to us. The president has talked about this several times to me, and his gut feeling over a generation that the enormous talents in the private sector have a lot better ideas often than people in the government about how to solve problems is really what inspires this. Yes, I think it is a model for others, and I can think of two or three areas.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Committee has met this morning. I'd like to go back a little over a year when you first formed this. I remember your comments very well. You said that this was one of the most important presidential committees you were establishing because of the urgency and priority of the area involved. And secondly, you indicated in one of your first days in office you had tested the system, but that you were sitting in the wrong chair and Vice President Bush was in kneecap. I must tell you personally that I think almost all of the members of this committee have been up in the kneecap. We flew out to Omaha. Some of us had a chance to sit in your chair, even though they kept the telephone away from us. It was a good trip out. We spent a day with the Strategic Air Command. And through this, the committee has been very much involved in the work that's been undertaken. You will again receive through the Department of Defense and through Mr. McFarland detailed written reports, very informally and very briefly. We'd like to tell you that we feel very confident that the 2 years in which the telecommunications structure in the United States of America has dramatically changed, that there has been no negative effect on the emergency communications of the country as provided by AT&T and the common carriers and the operating companies in this country. We have recommended and there has been established a National Coordinating Center for Arlington, Virginia, for the National Communication System, and that will be fully in effect permanently in March of 1985. We have undertaken satellite survivability studies, which have already led to certain changes being made aboard the satellite to protect them from interference and from orbital change. We've undertaken major major studies in automatic information processing and the relationship to the telecommunications industry. These studies, we hope, will continue on a major basis for the next year or so. Finally, we are now looking at the whole commercial survivability network as it applies for the United States, that network being outside the military network specifically, and are looking at making recommendations to the government, to the National Security Advisor, and to the Department of Defense and all of the 22 other agencies involved with respect to funding priorities for the entire communications program. We thank you for your interest and for your attention.
Thank you, Chairman Hariscog. It's good to see all of you again, have you here. Much has occurred since we last met in this room. Bud McFarland has kept me informed of the work that you're doing and the considerable activity generated in the government in response to your input. You've been a vital stimulus in the area of national security, telecommunications planning, and capability enhancement. I want to take this opportunity to thank you as a group and to individually as well for the contribution that you're all making. Our nation is more secure and better because of what you're doing. The telecommunications expertise in this room is a powerful national security asset. And I regard the NSTAC and your willingness to serve as a model of private sector government cooperation. You're demonstrating what this kind of teamwork can accomplish while addressing issues of high national priority. And your task is crucial. Ensuring the capability of the nation's telecommunications assets, which the 30 corporations represented on the NSTAC largely compose, is vital to the national interest. I regard this challenge as a top administration priority. The nation's commercial telecommunications assets are key elements of our overall national security posture, and your guidance is a necessary part of the equation if our valuable communications assets are to effectively contribute to our nation's security. We continue to need your help, and I urge you all to stay personally involved. I'm pleased to announce that today I've signed a new executive order to streamline various agency assignments for national security and emergency preparedness telecommunications functions. It also establishes a more effective White House mechanism for coordinating telecommunications planning and formally creates the National Communications System. The preparation of this executive order resulted from NSTAC's focus on government telecommunications planning. All of the National Communications System entities, most of whom are represented here today, now have an important responsibility to address. I have designated the National Communications System, represented here today by Deputy Secretary Taft, General Powers, and the heads of several of its member departments and agencies, as the vehicle for putting NSTAC recommendations in practice. It will also serve as the forum to coordinate government telecommunications planning and meeting national security leadership requirements. And I am pleased that a National Coordinating Center, which was a high-level NSTAC recommendation, is already in the first stage of operation. With your active participation, it is this at this very moment making a critical contribution to our telecommunications readiness. And I have directed the NCS to address your other recommendations with similar vigor. Government has to equal industry's performance in the NSTAC process, and I have asked all NCS member agencies to fully support this task. Today, we've reached a milestone. When the NSTAC was formed, I asked Rand Ariscog of ITT Corporation to serve as the first chairman. The progress we've made to date is a testimony to his leadership. And now, as we move into your second year, I'm pleased that Joe Sherrick of ComSat has agreed to serve as the NSTAC's new chairman. Ted Brophy of GTE will be serving as the new NSTAC vice chairman, so that we might appropriately recognize this changing of the mantle. I would like to ask Rand and Joe to join me here at the podium. I'm supposed to have some things here. There. All right. Well, now that you are here, Rand, you have my personal thanks and the gratitude of the nation for the contribution you've made as the NSTAC's first chairman. Your leadership in forging a cooperative spirit enabled us to achieve our initial objectives and get this operation on the way. And I'm very pleased that you will continue to serve as a member of the NSTAC. So on behalf of the American people, along with your colleagues in the industry, I would like to present you with this symbol of the leadership that you provide. Now, Joe, you're taking charge of the NSTAC with a number of vital issues still before us, and you'll provide the kind of continuity that will guarantee NSTAC's further success. I look forward to working with you and the entire committee and meeting the challenges. Given your task, I'd like to present you with something that might be useful on the job. So thank you and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Now, I shouldn't do this, but I'm just tempted further with all of you and all that you've accomplished. But please tell me, in case I did it in a previous meeting or not, did I ever tell you about my first Sunday experience when I first came here with the communication system? I know that some of my people here have heard me. They'll have to put up with it again. Well, we were invited to the Virginia farm of Jack Kilpatrick, James J. Kilpatrick, the columnist, and for a Sunday lunch. So the helicopter landed in the South Lawn, and Nancy and I got aboard, and half hour later we're down there at his farm, and he greets us, and as we're walking toward the house, he said, you know, your fellows have been here for several days putting in the communications equipment, the phones. And I said, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Well, he said, they said that it's a system that you can be in touch instantly with anybody, any place in the world. And I said, you mean to go a half an hour away from the lunch? They got to put in a phone system? He said, yes. And he said, I challenged them on this, being able to meet or get anyone in the world. And he said, they told me to name someone. Well, he said, I have a son who's an embassy guard in an embassy in Africa. And he said, they got him. And his mother got to talk to him and see him for a long time. So then he said, I challenged him because I've got a son who's an enlisted man, a quartermaster on the USS Pratt with the 6th Fleet in the Mediterranean. And he said, and then they told me they couldn't reach him. But he said, before I could say I told you so, they said, the fleet is on maneuvers and only the president can reach the fleet. Well, we went on in the house and I met the young man's wife, very sweet young lady, and I remembered what he'd told me, so I excused myself, went back outside, and I said, is this right that I could get someone on the USS Pratt with the 6th Fleet in the Mediterranean? He said, yes. And he said, get him. So I went back in and got her. Well, she got to talk to her husband. She hadn't seen him for a long time. And I felt very pleased with myself until sometime later I got a letter from the young man. I hadn't thought about everything. For example, that the last part of that communication was going to be by radio to wherever the ship was. And he told me that on maneuvers, the air is full of traffic. Admirals talking to admirals, ships talking to ships, and then he said a voice came on and said, White House calling. And another voice said, what code is that? And a third voice said, wait a minute, maybe it is the White House. And then he said they came down to a lowly quartermaster on a tin can there with the fleet. The air, he said, couldn't have been silenced faster by Hollywood than it was silenced. And he said, I got to talk to my wife. Which I hadn't thought about, that the whole fleet would be listening in. But he added this line, which I have treasured and remembered. He said, it was as if God had called the Vatican and asked to see an altar boy by name. just wanted you to have another slant on the importance of all the talk you were doing here. I won't abuse the system anymore. I've learned. Thanks very much.
Gentlemen, we will adjourn here in just a minute. I just wanted to say that I think that this committee is rather unique and is a marvelous example of superb cooperation between the government and industry in a matter of critical importance to our country. I think that the progress that has been made is clearly due to the fact that very high levels of government are involved. The president is personally interested. And I think that behooves us on the industry side to ensure that we do those things that are needed to affect further progress in this critical field. I think that is a stimulus in both directions. I think that clearly the involvement and interest at the highest levels of the government gives us an incentive. And at the same time, the fact that we are prepared to dedicate the kind of resources that I know all of you are making available to this venture permits progress to be made, and that feeds on itself. I think that amazing progress has been made in a very difficult field in a very short period of time. And I know that on behalf of all of you, I'd like to thank Rand for his leadership role in getting such a superb launching of this new activity. And the great progress that's been made in a very short period of time. And I hope that we can work together in the coming months to maintain the momentum which has been established. I think it'll be in the interests of those of us in the private sector, and it will be of great assistance to our government and our country. So I ask for your support and help. Thank you. We will try to meet in December. In early December, the precise date will depend upon the President's schedule. And some of the agenda items have been discussed with you this morning. And we'll be in touch with you on the specific dates, but we're basically shooting for the first week in December. And as soon as we are able to firm up a specific date, we will be in touch with you. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.